When you think of the second coming of Christ, what does it do to you spiritually? What does it do to you in, well, motivation? In thinking in terms of the day that you as a believer in Christ would be caught up in the twinkling of an eye, there would be a flash, the mortal shall put on immortality, and there you stand in the sight of the living God, of Christ, and you will see him. So what does it do for you to know that that event will occur? None of us have seen this yet. Even those who have died and gone on, absent from the body, present with the Lord, they are present in their spirit before the Lord, but not in that glorified body. When that day comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up, harpezo, by, well, a overwhelming force, quickly caught up. And a transformation, a glorification shall occur. But when I think in terms, dear believer, of the possibility of seeing God face to face, of realizing that all of history is moving in one direction, that God who entered the human race came to redeem, to save, to restore, and all that he did at that cross secured all that is going to come. So you know him now, and you know the presence of the Spirit of Christ within, and you have that overwhelming sense of the Spirit of God inside that communicates the guarantee of what's to come. And that is the second coming of Christ and our glorification. Some have called this the goal of our salvation. And truly, salvation includes, I mean, the day, whether it was 30 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 days ago, when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of God came in and you were born again. At that moment, it's without question, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That when the Lord descends and the dead in Christ are raised, by the way, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5 would be a good study. And those who are left, those who are alive, so if it occurred today, we would be caught up. And that's the word harpezo. Some have used the Latin rapture, but it's the Greek word that means a forceful, quick catching up or catching away. And that is that reference to the glorification, the first resurrection. Now, believer in Christ, dear brother and sister, you and I are here now in the presence of the living Christ. You know that you have the joy of Christ inside. You know that you have been forgiven and washed and that he lives within you. But you must realize that that salvation includes the total package. It includes not only justification, the moment of salvation, totally declared righteous, totally declared forgiven, clean in the sight of God, sanctification, that dynamic process of God working his grace in you and conforming you to the image of Christ and leading you to bear fruit, to know God more, to know the knowledge of God, to know so many more things, and to do the works of Jesus. So coming to know Jesus involves so much, but it involves the second coming. While the world pines away in all of its, well, agonizing events and angst, there is an assured hope. Now listen, we can talk about all the others that are promising a new age, a new time, a new period, hope for the world in links to occultism, to the new age, to ufology, and we know that it's all a vain hope. We know that there's a vain agenda going on right now based on Psalm 2. All around us, the world is moving. There is God's agenda, there is the satanic agenda, and we are in the mix of what is going to happen in Revelation 19:19. Now today, the scripture that I really want you to focus on is found in 1 John chapter 3. Starting with verse 2, dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Oh, you can circle that in the scripture, 1 John 3:2, and mark down Philippians chapter 3. When it talks about our lowly bodies being transformed and made like unto his glorious body. You can remember here now too, 1 Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye, in the flash, mortality, mortal man, that is redeemed, saved, born again individuals. Well, there's a transformation, there's a glorification, immortality. We will see him, see what it says? We will see him. We shall see the one that's been dwelling in our lives. We shall see the one that we have served. I love the fact that Jesus said to Thomas in the Gospel of John, blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. I have never seen Jesus, never had a vision of Jesus. But I've known him now 37 years. I know his presence. I'm familiar with his voice. I know his love, the joy, the presence, the power. I'm assured of the second coming. I'm assured of seeing God face to face. God, my Savior. When you go back to 1 John 3, and if you begin to memorize verses 2 and 3, realize that this incredible revelation involves something now. We are now the children of God. We are now the adopted sons and daughters of God. We are right now born of the Spirit of God. Well, you can check it out in Romans 8. We have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that inseparable, unbroken, living presence of God within. And so right now, it's knowing Christ. Right now, it's God in us. Right now, it's access to God. Right now, we simply do not see, but we know. The Greek word gnosko here refers to the experiential, you know that you know that you know. So when you read that second half of verse 2, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I want you to see this, and again, mark down as a biblical student, a researcher of biblical prophecy. You can take a look, if you want it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it refers there to the parousia, to the catching up of the saints, to the gathering, and for us to see him and marvel, be astounded, and be amazed. We'll talk about that in the next one. But right now, when Christ appears, in the second coming, there's that part of that second coming where all the believers are glorified. We shall be like him, glorified. Read it again, 1 John 3:2. We shall be like him, glorified. For we shall see him as he is. Now, it's very important to realize it's not how he was. Isaiah 53 prophesied 700 years in advance the suffering Savior that would be taken to the cross. We see in the Gospels the Savior born and lived and spoke and did the works and went to the cross and all that occurred. We even see the resurrected Christ, the ascended Christ, and glimpses of the glorified Christ in Scripture, sitting at the right hand of majesty. But we have yet to see in his descent, in his catching us up, in this twinkling of an eye, in this amazing, well, final act, glorification. Now, I want you to realize something. As you know that Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming, and he is going to return, and there's nobody that's going to stop it, though that is the satanic agenda, to stop the second coming. You can read about that, Revelation 19, 19, and think through the implications, but better right now to look at Revelation 19, 11, where you and I, as believers in Christ, descend with Christ in the visible, well, the apocalypse, the revelation, the final visible appearing. We will have already been caught up, glorified. We shall be with him, but we shall also descend. Now listen, this is the event of the ages. This is the culmination of God's redemption, God's restoration, God's salvation. You're saved. You're redeemed. There'll be a day in which you and I will be glorified. That is the final and permanent eternal work of salvation. It is what I've called many times indestructible immortality. It not only involves indestructible immortality and being eternal, it involves seeing God face to face. It involves the end of evil, the end of death, the end of sin, the end of Satan's work. It involves all that. When you think of the second coming of Christ, this is the Prince of Peace. No, not the counterfeit that the Antichrist is bringing through the New Age movement. But this is the real deal. This is Christ and the coming of the kingdom where the lamb lies down with the lion, when total peace and restoration of nations and eventual new earth, new heaven, all of it, the new heavens, the new earth, you glorified, the indestructible immortality, the end of Satan, the end of death, the end of sin, the end of all of that junk. And guess what? All based on the fact that God is our Savior and that it was won and provided for at the cross, that old rugged cross. The Christ that lives in you died at that cross, rose from the dead, ascended, is glorified and coming again. Coming again. We shall see him as he is. Now, verse 3, 1 John chapter 3, says everyone, referring to you and I as believers, who has this hope, again, biblical hope, assured fact. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he, Christ, is pure. Purifies. Hagnidzo. Hagnidzo has the idea of, cleansed from defilement. Everyone who has this hope in him. You know what it means? It has the idea that you're going to look at your life and say, you know what? Christ is coming. I will be glorified. The King of Heaven, my Savior, is coming. And I don't want anything in my life that is contrary to Jesus. Just as he is totally pure. Every one of us that holds to the second coming of Jesus Christ and all that it means, that truth alone helps us be devoted, be committed, stay pure before Christ, dear believer in Jesus. As you can contemplate the second coming, as you can close your eyes and think through and meditate on the Word of God, is there anything in our lives that we would want to get out right now before that occurs? May the second coming of Christ motivate us to purify ourselves, to set Christ as Lord, to yield to the Spirit of God, not to grieve or quench God the Holy Spirit, to honor Jesus in every possible way. He's coming, so I want to live right. He's coming, so I want to live good. He's coming, so I want to be like him. He's coming, so I want to live in love. He's coming, I don't want no habitual sins in my life. He's coming, I don't want to open any doors to the enemy. Right now, by the Spirit of God, in this revealed prophetic revelation of the coming of Christ, may God use it in our lives that we would have our own personal revival. Oh, right now, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, purify yourself from anything that contaminates body or spirit. Take a read. Meditate on 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It has a lot to do with this verse. God's blessing to you today. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, 31 Days Ablaze.